We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hey, welcome everyone. This is Brian Davis, and I am your host of Plant Profits. I'm going to welcome you all to Plant Profits. I am excited today. We're going to have some fun. My next guest is a transformational brand builder and multi-channel marketer. She's been leading brands and industries and consumer products for over 20 years. She was the vice president of global marketing at companies like Kimberly Clark. She really understands it, and I am really excited. She's got a hot brand on the market today in the cannabis space, Lisa Hurwitz. Welcome to Plant Profits. Lisa is the president of the wonderful cannabis beverage, Happy. How are you doing, Lisa?
I'm happy to be here, Vern. I've been doing that, right? Yep. There's so many puns in weed, and then when you get a great brand like Happy, it kind of just continues. But thanks for having me, and you know, I'm excited. Today's International Women's Day, so I'm honored to be on your show today and supporting women in the cannabis industry everywhere, which is awesome.
Absolutely, and that's the cool thing about that is that Happy is about women, right? So it's a big part of what you and your partner or Joy are doing with this brand, and we need that. We need that in this industry. But look, I said in my opening, I love your background. The reason I love your background, I have a CPG background, you have a CPG background. And what I love about it is that your route to today, right? The journey you took to get to where you are today and what you're doing today. I love it, right? A lot of agency work.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to
business development work. Yeah.
Lots of business development, lots of agency. So I'm a marketer, Vern.
Yeah.
It comes through in the Happy brand and how we talk about cannabis. But I grew up in the ad agency world. Procter & Gamble was my client for over 10 years. And I learned everything I knew about brand building from them. I worked on, I got on incredible brands, a lot of women's brands, which is really what shaped my vision for Happy. You know, things like femcare, Tampax, and categories people want to talk about, right? And there's unbelievable parallels, which is fascinating to me now, you know, 10, 15 years later, between these kind of like stigma categories, right? Nobody wants to talk about you know, feminine care. I worked at Kimberly Clark for many years as well. And nobody wants to talk about, you know, poise and depend. But these are real conditions. Mm-hmm. These are real things. And cannabis comes with lots of stigma still. You know, you and I have been in now for how many years? We're in a lot, right? And
a lot, yeah.
It still needs so much education. And there's so much
critical
this plant, right? That I think.
That's right.
Just at the tip of the iceberg. So
it's critical. Education is critical, and you're loaded with the experience that I love for this. And we're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about branding, building brands in this space, in this wild west of a category that we're in. And, you know, so you did all this stuff. You went to Kimberly Clark, and then you got into cannabis. How did you get to cannabis?
It's a great question. Mm-hmm. So I was at Kimberly Clark in about 2017. I was in a global job. I'm a mom of two boys. I was traveling all the time. I never slept. Yeah. Now they're teenagers, which is a totally crazy phase that you and I could probably talk about endlessly, teenage boys. But yeah, you know, I never slept, and I was taking Ambien all the time.
Okay.
I had to get off of it because it, you know, every doctor would tell you this long-term, you know, use of pharmaceuticals is not great. So right. I started to explore cannabis as a medical patient all while I was working at Kimberly-Clark and got a medical card in Illinois before it was recreation 5 years ago, 6 years ago at this point, and discovered the magic of cannabis primarily around sleep for me and realized that in going through that whole process, there was no education. There were very few low-dose products or familiar formats for women like me who were having these challenges. You know, gummies were starting to become popular, but it was mostly flower and vape pens, right? And I'm not a smoker. I wasn't particularly thrilled about those formats, but I wanted to sleep at night. And so I really dove into the category through the medical side in Illinois. And then shortly thereafter, about 6 months later in mid-2018, I went and joined Grassroots Cannabis, which at the time was more of a single state operator out of Illinois, vertical. So we had dispensary, cultivation, and processing. And we grew the company over the next few years to 12 states, ultimately sold it to Curaleaf.
That's right. And you sold that in 2020, right?
In 2020. Yeah. A few years after we got there. Yeah. And it was a wild ride, and it was incredibly eye-opening. I mean, going into these, you know, a lot of our states were still medical. Many of them went through a transition when I was there. So how do you take something that's typically been kind of medicinal, and how do you transition that into adult use? So one of the things I think is so interesting about this category, and I love where you are with your show because it sits in between, you know, it's not the same as alcohol. Cannabis gets compared to alcohol all the time, but the reality is, cannabis is both medicinal and wellness-oriented, and it can be for fun and lighthearted recreational purposes. And what's so fascinating is alcohol doesn't have that medicinal side. You know, it doesn't have that, you know, kind of wellness piece to it. It's entirely for fun and enjoyment and, you know, other things, where cannabis really straddles that line. And I think that's why the category just has so much opportunity and promise.
I think so. You know, you talked about how you got into it with just to come down from your day, right? Yeah. Traveling all over the world, have these wonderful boys at home. They're full of energy. They see you come home, and how do you come down from that, and get to a level where you could have a peaceful, really calming type of sleep? I have the same issues. And that's my methodology, and that's my reason for using is to want to have a great night of sleep and wake up feeling not foggy, right? I just want to wake up feeling fresh and crisp, and you attack that in what you're doing with the brand Happy, and I really love that because there's almost no one that I talk to that doesn't say the same thing that you and I are saying, right?
Right. Sleep, you know, and one of the things I learned from being in dispensaries a lot is sleep, anxiety, pain. Top three people. And even on the adult use side. So you think, we're going to, you know, make, it's a state now where it's completely legal. People still come in, you know, 50% of people still come in for the wellness and medicinal side. And it's really around those three things. So you asked kind of about that wind down. You know, again, I'm a mom. Smoking a joint at, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon to come down off of, it's not really an option for me when you have young kids, you know.
That's right.
And even that edible, you know, the thing I struggled with edibles is you have to wait an hour, right? So you can time it and you can learn it, but you don't quite know when is it going to hit? How is it going to hit me today? And the thing I love so much about beverages and how we've designed two of our functional beverages, which I want to talk to you about, Happy Glow and Happy Nightcap, were for that exact occasion you just described, Burton, that come down in the afternoon. So Happy Glow is designed, and we put functional mushrooms in there, we applied for U.S. patents. It's a completely new way of thinking about functional beverages to have both and some minor cannabinoids, as well as functional mushrooms. So Happy Glow has lion's mane. And the real goal with that one was, we talk about Happy Glow as the golden hour drink. That kind of I always had a tough time, especially if I was on a big business trip, of transitioning between work and home. And I think a lot of people have that feeling.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Shay, how do you turn off that workday intensity and come home and be really present for whomever it may be, even if it's just for your, you know, your dog or your cat or yourself at home? How do you transition that, right?
Oh, Lisa, I tell you, I'm at home now and I work here and I'm here and I have tough time transitioning, you know.
Exactly. And I think the pandemic made this even more complicated for us, Vern, because
that's right.
A lot of us, I'm home right now too. A lot of us are working from home and you don't have those same boundaries. There isn't that drive home from the office where maybe you listen to the radio or a podcast like Plant Profits, right? Or that.
That's right.
You know, you don't have that sort of built-in wind down time. You may just get up from your office and walk into your living room, right? And that's your transition. And that's a challenging one, right?
So that is very challenging. That is very challenging. I really love what you're doing, and your journey to cannabis is I think it, and I said this, and I don't know if it was on air or off air, but I think your background and the professionalism you bring and the knowledge you bring about brands and building brands is really important because, you know, and I think this is an obvious statement, I think there's a real gap. And I also, because I come out of the drinks business, I believe in drinks. I believe that drinks is a very unintrusive, social, applicable way of consuming. And I believe that, and I made a statement responding to something you put out there on LinkedIn just recently, that I believe that it's going to be a really fast growing part because of females, because of folks that, look, the younger the consumption age, the less they will want to deal with smoking anything. And
exactly.
Right?
Yes, and drinking.
And,
it is amazing to me generationally. Right. You know, it was so normal to drink. I mean, even when I was in late high school and college, right? I mean, it was just a drinking culture. And now it's actually cool not to drink. Right. It's actually cool to you know, be kind of, it started at that Cali sober movement. And now it's really swept. I mean, anybody under the age of 30 almost, there, if they drink, it's much more likely to be very infrequent and occasional. It's not part of their routine. And so what's so interesting, what you're saying about drinks, and of course, I'm a huge believer in the category too.
Yeah.
You talk about like there's a happy for any occasion, right? And the thing about drinks that I love is there's a ritual. Everyone has a ritual around drinks, right? Like I'm on Central Time right now and it's 9:15 in the morning and I've got my cup of coffee, right?
Yeah.
Do you have yours too? Your yes,
tea.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah.
But there you go.
Yeah.
That's your ritual. This is mine.
That's right. Exactly.
And then throughout the day, you know, you drink water. Some people need an afternoon diet coke as a pick me up, whatever that may be, or a matcha. You know, throughout the day. And I think what's really cool about, you know, happy is we looked at, okay, what are all the occasions where people might want to change it up, want to replace something? So replace alcohol, but you know, the interesting thing is more people than you would believe take alcohol to sleep, or they do the wrong thing right before bed, right? So that sort
That's
of
right.
wine, yeah, I have that glass of wine before bed. Well, you know what? Alcohol is a stimulant, right? So it wakes you up in the middle of the night. If
it does.
It may relax you on the, you know, onset, but then a couple hours later, you're up. Or to your point, that transition time in the afternoon, and a lot of people say, oh, it's 5 o'clock, it's cocktail hour. Well, we need healthier alternatives. And that's really where we designed Happy. So we designed that social, that toasting, those kind of social rituals that you have around drinks. But we also designed for those solo occasions where, you know, my husband loves to have a scotch before bed.
Right.
Which I've been talking to him now for about 5 years. So let's just see it out. But
I understand it. I mean, it's just kind of how that works. But look, here's what I want to do. I'm going to take a quick break.
Sure.
And then we're going to come back and we're going to really dive in about the elements and the details of Happy. I want to get the audience into that. And you can really share some real important facts with us about what you're doing and what this what this brand is all about. I'm Vern Davis. I'm your host of Plant Profits. My guest today, I'm having a blast, Lisa Hurwitz. She is the president and co-founder of the wonderful cannabis beverage, Happy.
Plant Profits will return so our sponsors can profit from these messages.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, it was really about a feeling. You know, we said, how does one of the, again, the great thing about cannabis is people always say, the one of the top questions is, how's it going to make me feel? Right? I mean, everybody asks that, right? Whatever the cannabis product is. And so with Happy, we said, what do we want people to feel when they drink this? That we want them to feel happy.
It's really that simple.
It's quite that simple. Sometimes the simplest names, you know, kind of really stick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Now so tell us about the need states and the different flavors that do different things, because you have five or six flavors that they're beautiful. The packaging's beautiful. The packaging's happy. Really?
I think, you know, one of the things I learned brand building, and I know you know we've talked a little bit about this, is brands should be bigger than even their products, right? So part of in designing Happy, again, I said the name is about a feeling, but the packaging, the visual design, and hopefully it brings people together, right? I mean, that's some of what we wanted. So to answer your question about sort of the way we've looked at our portfolio, two sets of real occasions, right? And again, this mirrors what's different about cannabis and alcohol, and also mirrors the way people in the industry, you know, kind of consume cannabis. There's social occasions. So, you know, Vern, you and I are going to go out for a happy hour or a cocktail, or, and maybe you don't want that hangover. You don't want that vodka tonic tonight. You don't want that. I don't want that glass of wine, whatever it may be. So we've got four social flavors. Two are going to be released this spring. One I'm very excited about, which is lime wild mint. And those are really THC and all natural ingredients. We've kept it really simple, really light, thinking about, you know, functional beverages and brands like Spindrift and LaCroix, what you really want to consume. But it allows you to sit at the table with your friends or your family or whomever and have that drink. And that's what I love about it is, again, there are so many rituals and occasions around beverages that it you just kind of become present with that and think about it. You know, your day. And that's really what we designed those social flavors for, so that you could not feel left out if you didn't want to have a drink. You didn't have to have a glass of water. You could have a happy beverage. It's anywhere, you know, from 25 to 35 calories. And you wake up the next day and you feel great. And you just have that kind of light buzz. We have it in 2.5 milligrams and 5, because I think people have different tolerances. And also, you know, a lot of people ask, where do I start? And how is it going to make me feel? How quick is the onset? And the onset of a beverage, because it begins to get metabolized in your mouth versus an edible, has to go, you know, down into your stomach first.
Right.
Beverages get metabolized much faster. So you feel it within 12 to 15 minutes on average. And it feels 12 to 15 minutes. And it feels much more like a glass of wine or a beer. That's really how we've designed it, is to give you that feeling and to also then allow you to sort of participate in that hour or two social experience. And then it offsets after about 2 hours or so. And that's on average. Of course, everybody's a bit different, but it's been pretty consistent in our testing and our feedback. That's the social side of the portfolio. The solo side we like to talk about really came about, you know, a year ago or so. We started thinking about, okay, again, this dichotomy in cannabis of there's wellness and medicinal use, and there is, you know, the social use.
Social use, yeah.
The functional beverage industry with, you know, mushrooms and all sorts of different plant ingredients in the beverage industry at large, not totally outside cannabis, is exploding because people want to feel healthier when they drink beverages. They want feel like they're getting some vitamins and some benefits. And so we said, okay, what are the two occasions that we think could be these kind of solo occasions where people are drinking, but they're not drinking, you know, it's that scotch before bed. Well, what if we replace scotch with a happy nightcap? And how would that impact my sleep versus a scotch? And so we created a beverage. It's a one-to-one with THC and CBN. And I'm excited about the CBN because it, you know, is known to help promote sleep. And we also formulated it with some reishi mushroom, a functional mushroom, which again promotes relaxation and sleep.
Beautiful.
So we're excited because all the feedback so far has been, you know, 20 minutes and I'm really sleepy and I, you know, sleep very well through the night. And, you know, we've had a lot of repeat orders. People are pretty excited about it. And then Happy Glow is that afternoon time period, the golden hour, where you need, we talked about earlier on your show, you need that transition between work or parenting or whatever it is into that kind of downtime. And it's designed to just sort of take the edge off, not make you sleepy. We have lion's mane in there, mushroom for focus, but just sort of take that edge off so you can relax a little bit. And again, we're really thinking about, you know, ways in which you can replace some of your current beverage habits with healthier plant-based alternatives.
No, that's beautiful. So let's just go back to the beginning though and talk about, so this is a natural sparkling water.
Yes.
Flavored sparkling water, correct? I mean, that's in essence what you created.
Yes, it is. Like,
why did you choose sparkling water?
We chose sparkling, again, a familiar format, right?
Okay.
That's something really popular, especially with kind of our core female audience.
Okay.
You know, people love a Spindrift. They love a LaCroix. They love that kind of feeling. And it crosses over between occasions, right? You can drink it at a lot of different occasions as well.
Are you thinking about like 10 milligrams? Are you thinking something? Is that part of the thought process around the business is that you're going to create, you're going to continue to satisfy the different consumer needs?
It's a fantastic question. I'm glad you asked it. The answer is yes. And then the other thing I think is really interesting about the cannabis space right now is in adult use dispensary states, like Michigan, and we're about to relaunch Happy in Michigan in, you know, 150 or so dispensaries. Our Michigan market, because dispensary states tend to be a heavier consumption consumer, right? They tend to be more experienced with cannabis. They've asked, we want Happy in 10 milligrams.
Yeah.
And so we will be providing, we won't go above 10 milligrams. 10 and under, we believe, is a microdose. And we think that's really important.
That's how you define a microdose. Is there something, because I've heard that before. Is that how you define a microdose? Is that the is that the official and unofficial norm?
It's sort of both. I would say both. I think most consider 10 milligrams and under to be a microdose. Some say 5 and under, but I think, you know, where the cannabis industry is today in most states, you know, 10 and under is really deemed microdose, and it's how we define it at Happy. But we will never, for example, sell a 10 milligram online. First of all, from a regulatory standpoint, we can't. But also, our consumer online is often more of a casual cannabis consumer, whereas what we see in dispensaries is we see a consumer who's a more regular cannabis consumer and therefore wants something at a higher milligram level.
I got it. Good. So you are open there. What markets are you guys in right now?
So we are on in Michigan from an adult use standpoint, and Maine, and we are on the market in Minnesota, which is fascinating because it is a hemp derived market, and we are also shipping hemp derived Happy to 32 states right now. So online at happywithaniourdrink.com, which
and that's the hemp version,
hemp derived Delta 9. Yep.
So you are doing the Delta 9 version. Okay. Tell me about that relationship that you built in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's a great question. So Minnesota, I don't know how many of your listeners know the rules, but Minnesota essentially legalized THC from hemp. So this is pretty confusing, and stop me if you don't want me to describe the difference between hemp and cannabis, but I learned a fun trick yesterday, and in the spirit of International Women's Day, it's about two sister plants, right? So there's the cannabis and the hemp plant, right, that are sister plants. And the hemp plant has far more CBD in it, and the cannabis plant has far more THC. So typically, THC is derived from cannabis, but hemp has naturally occurring THC in it, naturally occurring Delta-9 THC. And so that's what we're extracting in Minnesota. We've got a great partner who also works with us in adult use states, Vertosa. And we built a partnership The great thing about Minnesota, and I think is also part of the reason why beverages have taken off in that market, is breweries have gotten into the game. And what's really going to scale cannabis beverages, Bern, is when there's scale in both manufacturing and distribution, because that's how beverage works. And yes, the challenge with scale right now in manufacturing in the cannabis adult use space for beverage is most cannabis manufacturers, they don't know how to make beverages. That's not what they do. They're growers, they're cultivators.
You're so right.
They don't have canning lines, and they don't know how to make
beverages. Lack of beverage intellect in the business. You're right. Yes.
Exactly.
And so experience. Yeah.
And experience. We partnered with one brewery in Minnesota called Fair State. They have a whole cannabis arm, Chill State. They realized early on that, you know, there's downtime on canning lines. And I learned this at Kimberly-Clark. You know, Kimberly-Clark's a manufacturer of toilet paper and paper towels and all sorts of stuff. There's always downtime in manufacturing. Yeah. And there's downtime in their canning lines and their beverage production for beer and the other, you know, products they put out. So they said, well, we're going to start using that to manufacture THC beverages from hemp. And that's exactly what they've done. They've built this great business under Chill State. And then the second part of what's made Minnesota really successful is the distribution. So when Minnesota's legislature legalized it, distribution wasn't limited to dispensaries. In fact, Minnesota really doesn't have a strong dispensary market. It actually, you go to Minnesota, I mean, it is fascinating. You see THC beverages, again, all hemp derived, in grocery stores, in liquor stores, in restaurants, on menu, next to beer and wine and alcohol. And that's the way beverage, again, we've talked about it a lot on your show today, but that's the way beverage is consumed. It's consumed by going to those stores. And I think being in dispensaries in adult use states has really held beverage back. So Minnesota has really opened the door.
I love they're taking this Delta 9 and they're opening the door for later. And creating opportunities now in the business. But you need that distribution experience and intellect in the space to actually do what you're doing in Minnesota. And that can, I mean, and you're doing it online, you know, that can be national. That can definitely be basically a national way of getting happy out to everyone. Tell me about the taste of the hemp product and the THC product.
Great question. We get this one a lot too.
Yeah.
Effects are pretty much identical. There's really no difference other than the source of the THC is coming from hemp. It's coming from the hemp plant versus the cannabis plant.
Yeah.
But taste and the effect are essentially identical, which is just pretty exciting. And the other thing I would say,
that's great,
hemp-derived THC is a little less regulated typically, which I think has been one of the controversial pieces, you know, in terms of legislation, you know, around hemp. And we do tremendous testing. We use the same lab in Michigan. We use the same emulsion partner. So
great. That's great news.
It's really consistent. We have COAs. We have a QR code on all our cans. You can see our COAs. You can go online. You can see the legal test. It's really, and what upsets me about, you know, deriving THC from hemp and kind of where some of the bad actors, I think there's bad actors in cannabis in general. Of course, we know that, right? I mean, it comes with the territory, but you know, in this side of the business too, I think people really started, you know, they started making all sorts of things, Delta 8, Delta 10, THCO, you know, trying to pull things out of the hemp plant that are not naturally occurring. And everything we do is completely natural.
Well, that's why the Delta 9 is attractive. It's a naturally occurring THC, which, and I think that's going to be friendly on a national basis. That's why the Delta 8s are having problems and those kinds of things. But the Delta 9 seems like the way to go. And I just love the fact that you are on it. And I think that's, I tell you what, Lisa, I think that's really, really exciting. I'm going to ask you a question. Okay, this product is, the profile is, you know, a big part of profile is female, but I'm sure you got male consumers. And when I, you know, as you take a look at this and your journey into cannabis and how you did it and what you're doing, Are you mentoring folks? Because look, I'm in the talent business, right? My Produce Global is a talent business, and we build companies through bringing talent to companies like yours. But at the end of the day, it's a difference, right? Of you know, you think you're ready for this cannabis thing, and there's a lot of different challenges, and they come at you very quickly, and you could do a whole show on that. But
oh my God.
How are you finding it, people making the transition and the adjustments and being successful? And do you think that's holding the industry back some?
I love this question, and I'm really glad I asked it, because it's different. And this is going to bring me to a whole different sort of area of focus, which is women in the cannabis industry and how to keep them in the industry. So, you know, one of the things, I think there was like a gold rush of talent, you know, 4 or 5 years ago into the industry, right? When a lot California legalized, all these states started, right? I was in the middle of Michigan and Chicago at the time, or Illinois at the time. I think it was a hot industry. People were dying to get into it. Recruiters, you know, you're in the talent business. Couldn't get enough. I think a lot of people came into it for the wrong reasons and quickly realized, whoa. And from a CPG background, I saw people come in and thought, oh my gosh, you spent, you know, 10 years at PepsiCo, 20 years at AB InBev, whatever it may be.
Right.
And they're used to structure, resources, scale, you know, capital, all these things that frankly cannabis doesn't really have, and certainly doesn't have in a structured context, right? So I think it's definitely, it definitely turned a lot of people off. They came into the industry for a year or two and said, whoa, this is a little too Wild West, a little too chaotic for me. When I left Curaleaf in late 2020, I have to be honest, I felt pretty alone at the top as a woman. I was the chief marketing officer there. And I thought, wow, I don't know what my next step is right before starting Happy. And I wanted to both mentor and connect with other women leaders like myself. And I started a group called Women in Cannabis, WINC, W-I-N-C. We don't promote ourselves very often. It's more of like a kind of network of amazing, talented, incredibly strong women. And what we do is we all take our armor off at the door. We meet once a month. And we just talk shop, and we talk about what are the difficult times in cannabis. I mean, this is a really tough year that we're in right now, Vern.
It's interesting.
And, you know, how do we support each other with resources? How do we support each other? You know, I think right now more female companies than I can even count on two hands are raising capital, Happy included, right? How do we support one another through these times so that when, you know, this shakeout of 2023 and possibly into 2024 happens in cannabis, you know, the strongest companies and some of these really strong, you know, leaders are on the other side of it. So I spend a lot of my time talking to, you know, primarily, and it's always been a passion of mine, other female leaders, and, you know, mentoring just people in the industry who are throwing their hands up and going, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Like, I'm passionate about the plan. I'm passionate about the category. But a lot of people are tired right now.
You know, there's, I love what you just said. I want to acknowledge what you just said. And what you're doing with women and helping people make the adjustments. And, you know, we've been in the business, you and I have been in this cannabis space long enough now that people have come in and come out and said, I'll never go back. And there's people who've come in like you that love it and love the challenges that are presented and the real clear opportunities from a consumer interaction basis that you love. And now for me, what's beautiful is that I can help, you know, I can actually help my clients find people that with a background like yours that actually has experience in cannabis.
Yes.
Right. So now we have a window now where we can actually find great talent with cannabis experience. And early on, as you described, we were finding great talent, but didn't, you know, they thought they wanted to be in cannabis, but a lot of them washed out. And that's natural. And that happens. And what we're going through in 2023 is this is supposed to happen. We got to have this, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's part of it's part of the natural cycle of a growth industry, right?
That's right.
Throw like a hockey stick, you level out. But to your point, I think one of the benefits is you do now have people with cannabis experience, and it's really hard to have a proxy for cannabis experience. You know this, Vern, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, cannabis, people say, oh, alcohol or tobacco or sort of. Yeah. But there is no other industry that straddles, again, medicinal and recreational, that right now in the United States is so fractured on a state level that you have to be on top of every single regulatory in and out to really operate in multiple states. It is a very tricky category, of which I don't think, you know, something globally, like global tobacco, global alcohol with, I had an international job at Kimberly-Clark. So I think about this a lot. You know, when you're working in China versus the UK versus, you know, Latin America, yeah, you're working in multiple languages and regulatory environments. But shy of that, there's nothing in the U.S. that doesn't have some semblance of scale, right? And Canada,
absolutely,
it is just really fractured. So,
you're absolutely right. My guest today, Lisa Hurwitz, and we're having a beautiful chat about Happy, her beverage brand in cannabis, and really the experience of just building something like this to be successful so consumers all around the world can get their hands on it. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And this is a huge opportunity. But it takes money to do this. It takes dollars. And the relationship that you and your partner and your colleagues have built with WeFunder, I want to understand that. Because I think it's interesting, and I think it will become something of a really used vehicle to get it done. So talk to us about that and how it all came about and what your goals are.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have been raised at seeing, you know, capital, like most companies, privately for several 2 years or so now. And it's been, you know, it's been tricky. And I think when the Safe Banking Act and some of this legislation didn't pass, we all saw what happened to the public markets, right, in cannabis industry. Number till now, capital completely dried up. I mean, it just, and even in this new fresh hemp derived space, and even in the growth, you know, beverage is only 2% of the cannabis category, 3% of the cannabis category.
Right.
Still, there was very little access to capital. And as a female founder, and I talk about this a lot, you aren't in the same networks always as some of my, you know, male colleagues. And so we found it more difficult to raise capital. I've had a lot of help from a lot of amazing people and amazing women in this industry, but still, we, to build a direct to consumer business and to build, you know, a multi-state business, you need a lot of capital. So and other crowdsourcing platforms have started to open up because they see the opportunity and the need, these platforms for cannabis companies. And we've been the first, you know, cannabis beverage company. I will say there's other cannabis companies, but cannabis beverage on the WeFunder platform. They've been terrific. We need about another $50,000 or so to get to the point to which then WeFunder opens it up to their 1.7 million investors. So they ask you to raise an amount of capital in order to become sort of public on their platform.
Yeah. So you have a hurdle. You get this hurdle. You hit this hurdle and it explodes.
And so right now you'll go on there and it's a link. WeFunder, WeFunder /happy, HAPPI, and you'll see it. And once we hit our goal amount, they flip it. They essentially flip it on and they help you market and all that. But they want you to gain some traction from your own networks and your own, you know, private investors. The other thing I will say, Ron, being in this industry for 5 years, I saw that first cycle of wealth creation. I saw a lot of people make a lot of money very quickly in those first few years. And I think what's happened since that is that capital is what's getting kind of reinvested right now. And so it's almost like a closed loop to a degree. So it's very, very difficult to find new types of investors and really open it up. And the thing that's been very frustrating to me as I, you know, get served decks a lot to invest in different companies, almost always the minimum is $50,000. You know, please help us. And that's, I don't know a lot of people in my own personal life that can just drop a check for $50,000 here and there very easily. And I don't think that's the spirit of the cannabis industry. I think the spirit of the industry...
It's very inclusive. Yes.
Yes. And so one of the things I really like about the WeFunder platform is it's inclusive. Our minimum is $250.
Wow.
And you can help Happy grow and you can share in our financial success. And that's a long way from the $50,000 private minimums that it takes to get into some of this cannabis investing. And so I think that was a really important piece of our decision to go into crowdfunding, was this inclusivity and this ability to bring in people who do not have a chance to be part of something in this growth industry. And look, cannabis is going through a rough time, but it's going to grow.
It's going to boom. It's here to stay. We've got some things to fix. Right.
We
need more happies out there that are building and seriously about building brands that are communicating with consumers and creating a level of consistency and expectation with the consuming public. I think it's really important. But you're right. We're going to grow. We're going to do some wonderful things in this industry, and we need more of you. Now, for $250, what do I get? But if I'm sending you $250 online, I can do this all online.
We'll do it all online, and what you do is it'll convert. It's all done in SafeNotes, which is essentially a form of a convertible note.
Okay.
So when we get to like a $2 million number, or we sell the company, maybe the exit down there, it converts into shares, and then you get the value.
Okay. So increments, you can start at $250 and just keep going on.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody out in your audience wants to write us $100,000 check, I'm always going to take that one, Vern. But it keeps going. And once we hit the $50,000 threshold, which I think you'll see online, it reads as $925,000, but it's pulling in all of our previous capital raise too. Once we hit that $925,000, which you'll see on that link, again, that's when WeFunder gets excited and they really kind of open it up.
That's beautiful. Look,
I think it's, again, like the one thing I love about cannabis, there's a lot of things, but one of the things I love is as an entrepreneur, and you know this, you got to get creative and reinvent yourself a lot, right? And
you
so you got to do that in all sides of your business, not just with your products or your,
right.
your content or your formats, but, with your fundraising too. And so I think, this is kind of a new direction we may see more cannabis companies start to go in.
I think so. I think so. This has been a blast. I want you back here. And when things evolve in your brand and you can, there's something like this WeFunder thing that you want to talk about, we can always talk about how the brand is building and evolving and new things that are happening in news. And I had a great time, and I know the audience, when they hear this, will be excited that you and your partner and your colleagues that you have over there at Happy are doing just an amazing job, and we need you to be successful, and we need companies and businesses like yours to be successful in this space. And I'm so Lisa Perwitz, president, co-founder of Happy, I want to thank you for being here on our show on Plant Profits.
I want to thank you for the opportunity, because right back at you, Vern, this industry needs people like you that give others a platform that support new and fresh thinking. And I'm grateful to be here. And thank you. International Women's Day. It means a lot to me.
International Women's Day. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal, and I'm glad we scheduled this and made this happen on International Women's Day, and really, really love that. I want to thank all of you who are listening out there to the Plant Profits podcast. I want to thank you for joining us, and I want you to go out into all the platforms where you listen to podcasts. Plant Profits is there. Take a look at us on the Apple, Spotify, any of them all, Amazon. We are there, and download our podcast. And I think that's really important. And look for this one, the one about Happy. And remember, calm is the new happy, right? So it's very, exactly. I mean, we're all looking for calm.
We all need it these days.
We all need it. And I want you all to go on your social media platforms and look at Protus Global, my company. But you can really kind of understand how we're helping companies grow and build, and we're building companies. And in the same action, we are really changing people's lives as we do that work. And I think that's a big deal. That's protisglobal.com, P-R-O-T-I-S, global.com. This is Vern Davis. I am your host of Plant Profits. And until next time, cheers.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.